WTFR. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. So many people have asked what this song is throughout the breaks that I just have to play the whole thing for you.
The rain has moved on and left a new day. Nothing seems to move, everything is still. It's just a shadows and light that move with the wind. Hidden violets grow, splashed with summer spray. Just another perfect day.
Sound of white Western civilization.
On the wild, fear is nature's warning. Hunger here is never far away.
Miriam Stockley, A Perfect Day. For those of you that keep emailing me and saying, what is that song? Who is that beautiful female sound? That is Miriam Stockley, A Perfect Day.
It's to sound discouraging, but you gotta be real, folks. Freedom may be over on planet Earth for
okay,
ever.
Maleficus, you might have something
Think
running in the
it.
Background, mate.
America is the beacon of freedom in all of history. If America...
All right, I'm going to have to mute Maleficus because he's got something running in the background. I don't know what that is. So, sorry about that, folks. Yeah, that's hilarious, actually. I started off really angry this morning because I got a couple of emails. I'll unmute you soon, Maleficus. I don't know whether you're still running the audio or not, but just message me, mate, when you're ready. And, yeah, we'll go from there. Let me just open the chat. Oh, live radio is always fun. There we go. Okay, so I wanted to play that because I started off really fucking angry today. By the way, this is brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, TCTA, all of that. We'll get to those details very soon. It hasn't started off a good day. I was actually just talking to my daughter last night about, you know, the religious and everything like that. I'm not against people being religious, as long as it's not harming others. For instance, if you take a look at, the Muslims over there in Afghanistan and everything that they do to their own religious people, it's pretty fucking horrific. It's fucking awful. If you see the way Christianity sort of came out the other side looking pretty squeaky clean, like it didn't start off great, you know, when you talk about the Crusades and everything like that, you know, but the thing is, they came out squeaky clean. Okay, I think we've got, let's see here. I think we've got, we might have Maleficus back in just a moment. We'll see how he goes. So what happens is, what is going on here? This is all screwy at the moment. Not the studio. Maleficus has fucked everything up. Look at him. What are you doing, Maleficus? What the hell? Let's see.
Population problem less. You know that in communist China.
Maleficus, you've got something running in the background, dude. You need to turn that shit off. Anyway, what happens is, he's got another network or something running in the background, and of course, I can't hear a word he's saying. So what happens is, I'm all for people wanting to be religious if they want to be religious, as long as it's not harming other people. But when people start telling me that I should be religious, otherwise I'm going to be killed and judged and burned in hell and all of this other shit, you know, who's the evil one? Is it the religious person that says, you shall be burned in hell and you should be burned in hell? Or is it me that says, look, dude, I just don't care if you're religious or not. Just do your own fucking thing, as long as it's not harming other people. No, who's the fucking evil one? And the argument I'm going to throw out to those religious people that want to throw religion in my face, as they recently did, like I had fucking 16 good emails from the last show, but 3 emails that were like, you're not religious, I've been listening to some of your shows, and rah, 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 fucking rah, rah, right? I am, quite pissed off. Let me tell you something about one of the flaws in your Bible. The God that you bow down to actually says that you were made in his likeness. Okay? Humankind was made in his likeness. Okay, then, so he's a rapist. He's a murderer. He's a fucking molesterer. All right? Because that's what some people are. So are you going to tell me, right, that your oh-so-precious fucking God, your oh-so-precious fucking God, is a rapist? He must be, because he said, I made you in my likeness. So therefore, he's a rapist, he's a murderer, he's a molesterer, he's all kinds of fucking filth. Because that's what he said. In the Bible, it says that you're made from his likeness. So if you happen to be a rapist, or other people happen to be a rapist, or a murderer, or a molesterer, then that's what he is as well. Because you were made from his likeness. And these people that commit all these crimes were made from his likeness.
By ignoring and laughing at...
Oh, Jesus. Maleficus, I'm going to have to hang up on you, buddy. So, seriously, okay, if you are in his likeness, right, and they are in his likeness, then... Okay, we're getting some technical problems going on here. Ladies and gentlemen, just bear with me. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, so if all of these people were made in his likeness, then that means he's a rapist and a murderer too. I've had to repeat myself because I'm looking at three different screens at the same time. For some reason... okay, Maleficus, I don't know if you can hear me, but you might have to turn stereo mix off and go to the microphone. Maybe that's the problem. I'm not sure. Anyway, you religious folk, right? You call me the evil one because I don't believe in God, but yet you're the one casting the stone. You're the one actually saying to me, you're evil and you're going to burn in hell and fucking, you know, God will judge you and all of this other fucking horseshit. Stick it up your fucking ass. I'm all for you to be religious if you want, but don't shove your religion up my fucking ass, okay? It's simple. Let everybody have their choice whether they want to be religious or not. And if you don't like it, fuck off. Like, fuck right off. I've got no fucking time for you. All right? Now, Jesus. As for the Skype numbers, I didn't get to play the clip. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it now for you. I did actually record a clip a couple of weeks ago when Maleficus and I were online. Yeah, I'm fucking angry. You can hear it in my voice. I'm really pissed off with these fucking religious pricks that are meant to be so, oh, so compassionate and oh, so godly, or what I call dogly, right? Oh, so godly. But then they're the ones sick casting the stones. It fucking makes me angry. Fuck you, cunt. Fuck off. You want to be religious? Go write a fucking head, you fucking kumbaya, my lady. You fucking hallelujah. Go fucking do it. But leave me the fuck out of it. All right? Don't be telling me that I'm fucking going to burn in hell when you're the one casting this fucking stone. I'm saying that you should be allowed to go and have your religion as long as it's not harming people. Okay, but you're the one saying, you shouldn't be allowed not to be a religious, Sean. Fuck off. Just get fucked. Go and fucking die. Jump off a fucking cliff. Do me a favor, please. You're a useless eater. Fuck off. Now, as for the numbers, I did record a thing about the Skype numbers. I forgot to play it. I apologize. I'm just seeing if Maleficus is... going okay there. Let me see. Just bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. For some reason, there was something coming through, and we don't know what's going on. There was some form of audio coming through. He looks like he's typing now. So what I'm going to do is... let's see here. Let's see if we can get him back up and running and see if we can hear him properly. Maleficus.
Hello.
Oh, hello. There's nothing in the background now.
No, there wasn't in the first place. I've rebooted twice. And on the second time I rebooted, it seems to have worked. But I even did the Echo test service on Skype just to make sure.
Yeah.
Both times, and there was no noise. So yeah, I don't know what that was, mate.
It was a network of some type. There was some form of network coming through behind, like every time I unmuted you, there was a network coming through. So
when you say a network, you mean like
like a radio station? It sounded like it was something like RBN or something like that. So
right, I can assure you.
I'm not angry
at you. I can assure you, I didn't have anything running.
I just want you, the audience, to know I'm not angry at you for it. I was just really like frustrated that it was happening. That's all. I was sort of like, what the fuck is going on here?
What you mean I didn't make cunt of the week?
Good on you. You could never be cunt of the week, Maleficus. Let me tell you.
Well, it's my week, so I might choose me. You never know. Yeah. No, genuinely, don't know what the score was there, because I rebooted. This is the second reboot, and on the second reboot, obviously, everything's fine. But the first reboot, I didn't even reboot. I shut it down completely. Oy vey. Shut it down.
There we go.
So,
No, when you listen to the recording, you'll clearly hear it. It was coming through. It was like you could hear somebody talking about communists and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, well, he's listening to a show and he's forgotten to shut it down. And then on the second reboot, obviously, we've got silence, like, in the background. So, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. But anyway, I was... So, to sort of fill you in, I don't know what you could hear and what you couldn't.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was all just breaking up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what there I was talking about was that, you know, I'm sick to death of the religious throwing their shit at me. We had 16 emails this week. All 16 were good except three. There were 19 all up. And the three were fucking throwing shit at me about not being religious. And I'm going, how fucking dare you fucking cast the stone at me and then tell me I'm the one who has to burn in hell? Like, fuck you. You know, I'm all for a person who wants to be religious. If they want to be religious, as long as it's not harming other people, cool, go ahead, be religious, be Christian, do whatever. But don't fucking say to me, oh, you're going to burn in hell and you're going to fucking die a horrible fucking death and God will judge you and all of this other shit, when I'm saying very kindly, you can be religious, just don't fucking involve me in it.
Okay, that's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, they're saying that God is going to judge you, because obviously they're doing the judging on God's behalf right there. Is there not a passage in the Bible that says something about, you know, don't point out the speck in someone else's eye when look at the plank in your own?
Right, but there's also this.
Yes.
There's also there this. And this is what I was throwing out to the audience just earlier when I was trying to bring you in, was this, that God says, I made you in my likeness. So in other words, God is a rapist. They want to throw shit at me, I'm going to throw shit at them. Then God's a rapist, he's a murderer, he's a molesterer. Because if he made every human being in his likeness, then he's all of those things. He's all of those things.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get where you're going with that. I'm not sure I buy into that, but then I don't really know what to make of God himself anyway. So,
well, God made it clear. God said that I made humankind in his likeness. Okay?
So in my image, wasn't it? Was it not in my image?
It was in his image and likeness. Yeah. So therefore, if he made it, even if it's in his image, then he's a rapist, a murderer, and a molesterer. Because there's rapists, there's murderers, and there's molesterers. So therefore, from his image, that's what came. So if they religious want to throw shit at me, want to throw shit at me, I'll throw it back to them. Work that one out.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as I would say, you know, as far as the rapists and the weirdos and the fuckwits on the planet, my understanding of it is that God gave you a choice.
Oh, no, come on. Either. Here we go with the free will bullshit. No, if he made everybody...
What do you mean?
if he made everybody in his image, then therefore he's a rapist, murderer, and molesterer. You know, continuously use this whole free will bullshit anymore. Come on, if he made you, me, and everybody else on this planet in his image, in his likeness, therefore he is all of those things. Can't get out of it. It's written right there in the Bible that everybody reads.
Well, what you're saying is he's not just a rapist and a murderer. You're saying he's also a nurturer, a loving person, and a blah blah. You're saying he's the entire cross section of
exactly. Look,
old
and modern day society. He's a lover. He's a hater. He's a fighter. He's a molesterer. He's a rapist, murderer. He's everything, because we were all made in his image. Now you take a look at me being a fighter, a street fighter. You know, and a boxer. That means if I was made in his image, then he's a fighter. He's got a fighting nature. He's got an aggressive nature, like me, right? He's got the nature of the molesterer down the street. He's got a nature of the murderer just around the corner. He has to. If we're made in his image, then he's all of these things.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, the lover and the fighter. Do you reckon he's a smoker and a midnight toker too?
Probably. Fucking
Lee. You know the whole what's it called? The Joker, isn't it?
Yeah.
The song, The Joker.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Creeping that analogy in there.
He probably is. You know, I more think that the gods, so to speak, more the whole Horus, Isis, and Osiris type thing than what it is, the warm and fluffy god in the sky that surrounds us, or the only one god is nature itself, and I don't believe in any of it. But if I was to believe that it was a being of some sort, I'd believe it's something from the stars, not some fucking grey bearded motherfucker that
grey bearded mofo.
You know, what was his name? Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston fucking played God in...
I get what you say. Mate, as far as I'm concerned, nothing is knowable, you know, in that respect. So, I'll sit on the fence for this one, mate.
I'm not asking you to have an opinion either way. What I'm saying is this: the emails that I got pissed me off. And that's why I went hell to leather at these people.
Well,
because
it sounds very much like these people were being judgmental, which is that's their first backslide, isn't it? You know, it's not down.
And you know what? And you know what's going to happen is the religious are now going to write to me, which they often do, and say, you know what, Sean? They were just trolls. No, maybe they weren't. Maybe they were actually religious and they were actually being judgmental. Now, I'm not against being judgmental. I think that we need to be in life. For instance, if I don't judge a person, my daughter or my son could be in harm's way, right? I'm all for judging a person for the right reasons. But if you want to be religious, go right ahead. It's cool, but as long as it's not harming people. For instance, the Muslim religion over in Afghanistan is harmful to people. We can obviously see that. Because in Sudan, Darfur, because the Muslim religion beheads and kills people for trying to convert to Christianity. That's not good for people, obviously, if you're getting your fucking head cut off. So what I say is this. I'm all for, if you want to be Christian, go right ahead, but just make sure you're not harming people in the process. If you want to be Muslim, go right ahead, but just make sure you're not harming people in the process. But don't throw your shit in my fucking face. That's my argument here. Don't throw that shit in my fucking face. Leave me the fuck out of it. And don't tell me that I deserve to die or I deserve to burn in fucking hell because you happen to believe there's a white fluffy lord in the fucking sky. Fuck off with your shit. Just fuck off with it. I'm not interested. I've never needed a lord to survive. And I brought myself up since I was 14. I've never needed this fucking lord. I'm not one that begs to a lord at the fucking feet of my bed, saying, please God, let me win the lottery. Please God, keep me safe. Please God. No, I did everything my fucking self. If you need a warm and fluffy Lord and you need a fucking Bible, a book out of all things to think that you that need that for happiness, go right a fucking head. I don't. You know what makes me happy? When my daughter and I are walking out down the street. When my daughter and I are going shopping, when my daughter and I, even if we go fishing or something like that, that's what makes me happy. I don't need a fucked up book to fucking tell me how to live my fucking life. All right? You religious people, you want to fucking throw this shit at me? You're going to cop it back. There it is. Two middle fingers in the air. Stick it up your ass. All right. Now, let's get Maleficus off the fence and start talking about something different.
I've missed you, mate. It's only been a couple of weeks, but I've missed you. How are you doing, all right? We've
got to know, what happened to you? Did you get COVID, Maleficus?
Well, actually, it's funny. I did do a COVID test, and it came up fucking blank, as it always does.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to be pissing on it or whatever it was I did. But I got absolutely wiped out for about 3 days. God knows what it was. 3 days, spent most of it asleep. Yeah. Like, it's the most I've slept for fucking ages.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, maybe it was my body just turning around and saying, do you know what, mate? You need a fucking rest. Sometimes that happens. But yeah, like I say, I came round really just in time to go back to work. Fucking yay.
There we go. Oh, the fun.
Yeah. Just in time to go back to work and have a fucking Zoom meeting about the fact that I'm not having the fucking vaccination bollocks all over again. So this time it was with somebody supposedly impartial to the company, and I'm sure your regular listeners will know I'm soon to be not offered any shifts at my job. They won't sack me. They just won't offer me any shifts if I haven't had the vaccination. So I had to speak to someone who's supposedly part of the company, but there is somebody impartial to listen to you, to listen to the reasons why, and make sure that you're completely informed. And I think by the end of our Zoom meeting, they were more informed than they had been before we started.
Right.
And they realized that I was well informed. And I made it quite clear that I would be raising a grievance and taking this further, you know, i.e., you know, I said, you know, I work outdoors, you know, viral transference outdoors is next to nothing. In fact, this is something that's been swept in now with the media, hands, face, space and fresh air now.
Yeah.
So this is something that I will be bringing up with. I said, like, you got a window cleaner here today. Has he got to have the vaccination to clean your windows?
I know, right? Like the dumb fucking shit that they come up with. It's just disgusting. Well,
you know, I was rubbing my hands together with glee when this woman said to me, you know, because when this woman said to me, she said, oh, I am impartial and you know, blah, blah. She said, I just want to make sure that you're making a completely informed decision. And I thought, oh, that's the very sentence I wanted you to say. On with a 5-minute diatribe from me reading out all the statistics, because I knew the meeting was coming up. So I'd been on to the adverse reaction logs on the government website that morning and got all the up-to-date figures. Poor woman just didn't know what had hit her, and then she went, well, so obviously you are informed.
I was gonna say Maleficus, you sneaky bastard. The poor girl wouldn't have known what slapped her in the face.
I did actually have them laughing, because I said, I don't need to enter the building, and she said, but you would need to enter the building to use the toilets, wouldn't you?
No, I just said, take a piss in the garden.
I said, I'm not about to defecate on the lawn, for goodness sake.
Oh, no, well, you're not going to defecate, but you can still take a piss in the garden, like, shit.
Well, I said, but I will let you into a secret. I said, urea is very good for breaking down compost. little gardener's secret there for you. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've got some comments in the chat room. I'm just taking a look at the chat room, and Main Rebel Wolf said, religion should be treated like STDs. Keep it to yourself. And also, we had Fake War saying, religion is all about belief. Science and engineering is about reality and proof. You know, religion is not just all about belief. It's about blind faith. It's a faith you have in something you cannot know. It's like Will Roberts said before he passed away. It was not for our mind to know, whether it be philosophy that created us, you know, through the stars and dust and all of that, atoms, or whether it was religion. It's not for our mind to know, because we can't comprehend it. Even if there was a God, or even if there was some form of philosophy that could inform us, our minds wouldn't be able to comprehend it. So it's not for us to know. It's that brick wall that you don't want to try and go past, because it'll drive you fucking insane. So it's not really about belief. It's not really about belief. Yeah. It's about blind faith.
That brings me back to exactly what I said at the beginning when I, well, not at the beginning, but when I actually managed to get in without creating lots of noise. Nothing is knowable.
Yeah. The same thing we were discussing on, I think, what, a couple of shows ago. Or a few shows ago. It's just not for us to know. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, Maleficus, Sentius, and myself, Sean Surplus. We'll be right back.
this program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Back in 1973, Dr. William Pierce was talking about the downfall of our planet and politics. I wasn't even born then, I was born in 75. If you want to know what's going on in the world today, then by all means, get on over to tctaunleashed.com and have a look at our schedule. Have a listen to Dr. William Pierce, whom was going for years and years and understood exactly what was taking place when it comes to Judaism. Have you ever come to that point where you're tearing your fucking hair out because of Microsoft's continuous ape-like behaviour? Have you ever bit a finger off accidentally because you were biting your nails whilst trying to work out why the fuck something totally out of this world is happening on your computer? Have you ever kicked a kitten and watched it writhe in pain just to get some fucking attention from Microsoft in order to be able to tell them to get fucked and die horribly after being grinded to a pulp in an elevator shaft? Have you ever jumped off a cliff after sitting up all night trying to resolve a Windows problem only to have God send you back to Earth because he hates Microsoft too and wants you to assassinate them Chuck Norris style? Well, I've done all of these things besides kill the kitten my daughter would kill me because of the ape-like creatures that Microsoft fucking are. Toto! Can't like Toto, Maleficus? Who? Who? Tell me. Who?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anyone that doesn't like Toto.
Neither can I.
Didn't they do that Rosanna tune as well?
I'm not sure. Did they? Were they the ones who did the Rosanna? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Incredible drum beat.
Yeah. It's almost like a strip drum beat when you think about it.
No, it was Rosanna was based on what they call, apparently I learned this recently, it's based on what they call a halftime shuffle.
Okay, that'd be interesting to play. I'd like to try and play that. We've got some more comments in the chat room, real thought-provoking comments. We've got Fake Wall that said, faith can be good, of course. Faith will move mountains, etc. You know, it depends on what you're having faith in. Like, for instance, I can have faith in that my children are going to grow up strong and healthy because of the work I put into making perfectly sure I take care of them and that I love them, you know. But when it comes to blind faith, I think that's a totally different ballgame, at least in my opinion, Fake War. Main Rebel Wolf throws a hello out to me. Hello to you as well, sir. And where was it? There was another one that... I've got to scroll back up here, Maleficus. They type too fast.
It's nice to see so many folks in the chat room.
Yeah.
Hello to Von Curtis as well. He's just said hello.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see the chat room getting a bit of use.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's great because, you know, we don't have the call in line at the moment, and this is why I'm about to play an audio that I was going to be playing just before Maleficus fell ill. With whatever it was he fell ill with. Just before that, I was going to play an audio, but I forgot to play it as to why the Skype numbers went bye-bye. So here we go. Get ready for some fucking anger. I just spent the better part of a fucking hour cancelling the fucking numbers for Skype. Because what happens is I've got two bank accounts. One where I receive payments for work and one that I can transfer those funds to for things like Skype and everything like that. So if something does go wrong and for some reason I can't unsubscribe, then I just drain that account of funds and put it back into the other account. Well, lucky I did that because Buck and Skype tried to charge me, right, which was below the 3 fucking months. There's no fucking way. We've had those numbers for 3 fucking months already. And I was like, fuck you, cunt. So what I did is I contacted him, and it took me, like I said, the better part of an hour just to get to a chat session with somebody. He goes through everything with me, and then all of a sudden it says, when I said, I said, without prejudice, I am going to my fucking lawyer if you don't cancel these subscriptions on these numbers. So all of a sudden it says, well, sorry, I'm very sorry. I'm having a technical difficulty. I'm going to put you onto a different agent. And then I have to go through it with her. And I said, I'm giving you 10 minutes. And then I'm going to Mr. Vincent Roccasano, and I'm going to sue the living fuck out of you. My God, mate, they put me through the ringer. I said, nah, you're done. Your 10 minutes is up. I'm going to my fucking lawyer. And then all of a sudden, 3 emails turn up in my account. Subscription has been cancelled. Subscription has been cancelled. It was right after I said I worked for 107.9 FM, 1650 AM, and I'm going to Vincent Roccasano. You're fucked. All of a sudden, cancelled. I guarantee you, her chief behind her would have been said, nah, just quick, cancel him. Cancel him. You cannot cancel it manually, the motherfuckers. Yeah, they used to have an option on Skype where you say, deactivate number. Deactivate number. But since it's been in the hands of Microsoft, no such fucking thing. And then you go to their support and they send you running around in circles over and over again. Then when you finally find that chat session, this person will palm you off to another person. That person will palm you off to that person. And you're sitting there going, cancel the fucking thing. You know, I felt like saying, I'm going to fly over there. I'm going to you fucking bitch. Fucking Jesus Christ. It made me so fuck. I'm surprised I'm still fucking alive right now. I'm surprised I haven't gone through cardiac arrest. I was so fucking angry. And then when I threatened him with the lawyer, the fucking 107.9 at 1650 AM, the whole lot, and said, you're going to hear from my fucking lawyer, Vince Roccasano, you know, a lawyer that's not just the greatest in Australia, but one of the greatest in the world. You're going to get butt. You are going to form a new rectum. Fuck you. Jesus Christ, I just can't believe they can get away with this shit. This is Jew bullshit all the fucking way. Make as much money as you can and trap them in to having to pay more and more and more. You know, I was reading some of the forums, and some of the forum people are saying, how the fuck do I cancel the number? I'm thinking, you dirty fucking skike. That's all I could think, you fucking kike cunts. These people need to be shot in the fucking head. And get this, all of a sudden, straight after I told them to fuck off and then I'm going to sue their ass, all of a sudden I get an email saying your WP, which is WordPress, your WordPress security account has been shut down. It's been cancelled. You will not be billed anymore. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? What? They said you are able to have the security up until October. And I've written to them and said, why was it cancelled? I wonder why. Because they're in the pockets of Bill fucking Gates. That's the only answer to why they would have cancelled my subscription. I'm the only one that can cancel it. Pardon my sniffing. I'm the only one that can cancel it. So how the fuck did it get cancelled? Isn't it funny that right after I told them to go fuck themselves and I'm going to sue their ass, all of a sudden the WP subscription, which is a totally different company, says, we've cancelled your subscription. You won't be billed anymore. See you fucking later, pretty much, in their own technical terms. So I just wrote back one line and said, why has my subscription been cancelled? I haven't heard back from them yet.
So there you go, Maleficus. And, you know, the company that I go through to run my WordPress, our own WordPress account, is not through Microsoft. But it was very strange that straight after I told them I'll sue their ass if they don't fucking shut the accounts down, that all of a sudden that the security people wrote to me saying, we've closed it down. And I said, why have you closed it down? They said, because you closed it down. And I said, no, I fucking didn't. I didn't close anything fucking down. You want to have a look at the log files? Go right a fucking head. Have a look at the log files. There's no fucking way I closed it down. I've got screenshots. Unfucking real. They're in the pockets.
Have they reinstated it then, or?
They said that I'm going to have to manually reinstate it, which means pay more money, even though it was a once-off subscription. And I was like, you motherfuckers.
Well, you've got to expect this sort of treatment when we, you know, when we call the cunts out for what they are, you know.
I know it, just but it doesn't take away from the fact that I'm going to have a fucking coronary, you know. Like, then they wonder why we fucking call them cunts of the week, you know? They're just dogs. They're absolute low life dogs. No, sorry, they're not. Because dogs have more... dogs have a heart. You know, they love their owners and everything like that. I shouldn't call these people dogs. They're fucking devils, you know? That's all they are. They're just demons.
Yeah. Sucking Satan's pecker, as Bill Hicks would have put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I had to get that off my chest. You know,
it's a shame that we don't actually have the calling numbers, because I did enjoy when Adrian would call in, and the few people while we had it.
I'm going to get him back, but I'm going to find a new way to do it. There are apparently some new companies coming out other than Skype where you use a website to do it, which means on the first machine here, I can actually get us a phone number that is much more faithful to its people, if we're going to talk faith. You know, much more faithful to its subscriber than what Skype is. I'm looking into it now, so ladies and gentlemen, don't lose faith. I'm going to be working on getting some new numbers, and apparently it's even cheaper than Skype. So,
okay. Well, Windmiller has just put a post up in the chat room there saying that WhatsApp and Telegram calls are free. I don't know about the quality and that kind of thing. Also, I would have a word with Paul English. He's very, very good with that side of things.
Okay.
I've had a little play around in one of the sort of call things that he's been working on, and it works bloody well.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I don't think it works. I'm not sure that it works from telephone numbers, so I think it's PC only. But
that's the only thing good about Skype is that people can call in from all around the world with just their telephone numbers. So that's what I'm looking for. But I have found another company, and I'm not going to name it just yet, just in case, you know, you didn't want to get your hopes up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to see how much, like, it's pretty cheap so far, but I'm going to see how much exactly it's going to cost us, you know, per month and everything like that, and just see how we go from there.
Let us know, because I'll chip in, old boy.
I know you would. You know, but being as cheap as it is, you probably wouldn't need to. It's pretty good. Like, it's also...
Oh, okay, you pay for it then.
Yeah. <You're right. laughs> well, you can help if you want, but
well, when you put it like that.
either way, we always get things done here. It looks pretty good too. You can have call-in queues, meaning if people are calling in, they queue up and they can hear the show while they're queuing up and everything like that. So I'm looking into that as we speak, ladies and gentlemen, meaning that...
Hey,
yeah,
that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it really is, for what I can see. Yeah. Again, I'm going to have to experiment with it. They do actually have a trial run. So if you're not happy, you don't have to, like, bill in, so to speak. So, yeah, but it should be pretty cool. We're about to come up to the cunt of the week. I can't believe how fast this show's going. I've been so angry that I've just forgotten how fast this show goes. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen.
Time flies when you're having fun.
We'll be right back. Maleficus, Sentius, myself, Short Surplus. Coming up is the cunt of the week. Get ready for it.
And so he, the Jew, advances on his fatal road until another force comes forth to oppose him, and in a mighty struggle hurls the Heavenstormer back to Lucifer. Germany is today the next great war aim of Bolshevism. It requires all the force of a young missionary idea to raise our people up again, to free them from the snares of this international serpent. Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf.
Alone by a seashore at the end of day, gazes the horizon where the sea winds in his face. Tempest tossed silent, seasons all the same, anchorage painted and a ship without a name.
If you're in front of your computer and you're listening to this broadcast but you're not in the chat room, you damn well should be. Get on over to tcta.chatandgo.com, tcta.chatandgo.com, or alternatively, you can go to tctaunleashed.com and click on the chat room up there on the right. See it? Just up there in the menu. Just there. Yeah, click it. That all the way back when in World War II, well, it's not hard to believe that our governments can create something much more advanced, technologically advanced. And, of course, we're going to think it's something out of this world.
Well, exactly. There was a surveillance blimp in Seattle a few months ago, and it was owned by the Department of Homeland Security, and it fell from the sky because it got a hole in it, or for whatever reason it fell. And people were freaking out. They saw this big floating silver thing.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9 FM.
WTFR.
We're bored and free.
And now it's time for the cunt of the week.
Who are you fucking calling cunt, cunt?
Yeah, what did he say, cunt?
He said, you fucking cunt.
Well, you fucking cunt. Who are you to say to him that he was a fucking cunt?
Oh, what do you fucking think, mate? I'm fucking defending my fucking self.
Well, no, he come up to you, call you cunt. That's fair enough. Well, he said, you fucking cunt. And you said back to him, you fucking cunt.
Well,
what do you expect him to say back, apart from you fucking stupid fucking cunt?
Well, I don't expect nothing, do I?
He's a fucking cunt. Yes, he's a fucking cunt.
Yes, he's a fucking cunt, although we don't yet know who the cunt of the week is, because it's Maleficus's turn. He was ill and missed out on his cunt of the week, so now he's got to let us know who the fuck it is. Who the fuck is the cunt?
It was your cunt of the week last week, wasn't it? Yes, it was yours, because I had Sir Lenny Henry the week before, you see.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was too. And because I had the gentleman on, Gertchen on.
Gertchen, and yeah, I managed to listen to a little bit of it, but I haven't listened to the whole thing yet. So, it was quite... I would have liked to have spoken to him, actually. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, well, so, I took your advice too. You know how you said that it's a good thing to have the guests have a cunt of the week as well? You know, so yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah. I think. Did he choose one?
Yeah, he did. I can't remember who it was.
Okay. I say it's a cunt lottery every week, anyway. Yeah, so,
but
you know,
here's the thing.
Go.
You know what? Well, we've got to go back and start listening to all the cunts so we could list it on the website, because I'm losing track of all the cunts. Like you said, cunt lottery. We have to go back and listen to all the who all the cunts are.
We certainly do. We certainly do. Yeah. Well, I've got a really good cunt of the week this week.
There we go.
Quite chuffed with this one. Just purely because he's very well deserving of it. We have another Sir this week. It is a Sir Simon Stevens. Sir Simon Stevens is the TCTA cunt of the week. Now, anyone that doesn't know who he is the gentleman who up until the summer...
And
will
you can't,
continue
you, hold on a second. You can't call him a gentleman if he's the cunt of the week. He's a cunt, not a gentleman.
All right, well, sorry. I'm so used to being nice to people. You've seen my Halo, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this cunt is a proper cunt. He's the head of NHS England and will be until the summer. He was going to step down the winter before last, but felt that he had to stay on because of the COVID crisis. This is the cunt who makes it so that the National Health Service in the UK will pay £4.50 for a packet of paracetamol that me and you can pick up for 28 pence at our local store. So he stayed on, and do you know what he's doing when he leaves? When he leaves being head of NHS England?
Mm-hmm.
He's joining the fucking House of Lords. Now, anyone in the US who doesn't know what the House of Lords does, the House of Lords, we have two houses over here in the government, Houses of Parliament and the House of Lords. And the House of Lords is the second chamber of the UK Parliament, and if you take the government's webpage, it says it plays a critical role in examining bills and questioning government action and investigating public policy.
So in the,
now
in other
we've
words,
got that
to...
cunt. Now we've got that cunt above the government. What the fuck? So there we go.
So to explain to the American audience, it's sort of like a person that is acting against the above the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are far above the Constitution. So it's the same sort of thing. So you've got the Constitution, which is what Maleficus is talking about when it comes to Parliament. Then you've got the Bill of Rights, which is high above the Constitution. The Bill of Rights by far outweighs the Constitution. So it's the same thing. You've got Parliament, and then you've got the House of Lords. The same structure.
Yeah, basically that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Basically, he's after fucking us up the arse with the NHS for God knows how many years, and basically driving the National Health Service through the floor financially.
Yep.
He is now going to be above the elected government. So
yep.
that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly like the Bill of Rights in the United States. The Bill of Rights are so much higher than the Constitution. It doesn't mean that it can outweigh the Constitution in that you can change the amendments or anything like that, but the Bill of Rights give you so many more rights, if you will. The House of Lords is a similar thing. It's sort of like it gives you a hell of a lot more rights. But then if someone like this prick gets in, this cunt of the week gets in, he can start changing that, through legislation. He can start with legislation and go from there. It's a dangerous thing.
I've just put a picture of him up in the chat room for all to see.
I've got to see that. Let me have a quick look. I've got to see it. Got to see it. Where is it? Where? Okay, there he is. Let me have a look. Oh, and he looks like a cunt too. Oh, yeah, and you've got cunt of the week there. Yep. All right. We might even make that the picture for today's show. I love it. I love it. I've noticed that you've
done
that.
So that's why my conversation was slightly disjointed, because I was beavering away at that while you were asking me who he was. So.
I love it. I've noticed that you actually do that for some of the cunts of the week. Like, you actually write cunt of the week on the front of them sort of thing. And
you know, it's really nice when they actually have like a placard in front of them, like the CEO of my company had
he looks like such
when,
a
when
fucking...
It was his turn for cunt of the week. I chose a picture of him at some business awards meeting, and he's there proudly holding his award up in front of the camera, and I scribbled out all the business shit and just put TCTA cunt of the week on it.
He actually looks like a fucking nerd. He looks like this real fucking nerd. Don't get me wrong, I'm a nerd myself. I started coding at 9 years of age, But the thing is, he really looks like something that needle-nosed fucking beaver dude. Like, what the fuck? Holy shit. I'm a nerd with a big grey fucking ZZ Top beard, at least. You know? Like, I still get the boxing ring and shit. He looks like he couldn't fight his way out of two wet paper bags. Holy fuck. Oh my god. Cunt of the week. That's great. Oi, oi, Maleficus, Maleficus. Let me take us out of the cunt of the week. There we go. Cunt of the week is done.
I feel he was a worthy cunt of the week, that one.
Fucking oath he was. Yeah. No, yeah. Anyone in the NHS is, but I mean, he's a mega cunt of the week. Yeah, yeah, indeed. All right. I've got some more audio for us, Maleficus, before we get to articles. By the way, that's right. My daughter actually said to me, don't forget, Dad, you've got to talk about the salmon. Now, it turns out that smoked salmon is not actually totally smoked. They use a chemical in it. Now, the captain is a fishitarian, I guess you could call him. He's an aquatarian, if you will. He doesn't eat red meat. He doesn't eat pork. He doesn't eat chicken. He only eats fish. So all of his protein comes from fish, and he's been eating smoked salmon for most of his life. Now, yesterday we were visiting, and he said straight out, he said, Sean, don't go near the smoked salmon. I said, wait a second. You know, you love smoked salmon, Captain. What are you doing? And he said, no, no, no. He said, I found out something. I was watching a documentary, and his son looked it up to make sure it was true. And he said, yeah, they use a chemical in it that shortens your lifespan by quite a bit. And I went, you're joking. And he said, no, no, no. So I had a bit of a look into it, and they're right. What happens is I'm actually going to print some stuff out about this for next week's show to show people that there's a chemical in smoked salmon. Smoked cod I'm not so sure about, but smoked salmon is really dangerous for your lifespan. So look it up for yourselves. In the meantime, by all means, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to be looking into it further. But the captain's not stupid. He's not short of a six-pack. The reason I call him the captain is because he was a glider pilot. Okay, so he's not stupid. He's intelligent. He's clever. He's witty, the whole lot. And usually if something gets by him, it's rare. It's rare that something gets by him. So for him to say, I can't have smoked salmon anymore, even though I've been eating it for years, and then lets me know what happens with it. And then I look it up, and it's got, there's certain chemicals in it. I'm going to look into it further before I even just start to speculate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go further into it. And then next week, I'm going to come back with the information and whether I was right or wrong either way. But no, I don't think he's wrong. For what I've already seen so far, scary stuff. So be careful of any of the food that you eat, ladies and gentlemen, because GMO, preservatives, food additives, all of this shit, it's just shit for you. And this is why the royals live until 100 fucking years of age, 99 years of age, and we only live until 75, or as my mother, 74. It's just, we're eating shit and they're eating the good stuff, and that's why they live so long. Coming up to the top of the second hour, Two's Company Three's Allowed, Malefica Sentius, myself, Sean Surplus, we will be right back. FM here in the Alpines of Australia, and 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York. John Laws, a bloke that sits in his ivory tower with his golden microphone, left untouched by the actual world. You see, we're real people, Lawsy. You're just a fake piece of shit. You know, you tell people that it's unfounded about what we say about the Aboriginals, among other stuff, mind you, especially when it comes to the youth. Unfounded, you say. Yeah, how about I pay your rent for 6 months to go and live in a place that we call Vegemite Valley? Or how about I pay for 6 months worth of your rent to go and live in a place called Wilcannia or certain parts of Alice Springs and then come back and tell us what we're saying is unfucking founded, you low-life piece of shit.
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company Three's Aloud with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Two's Company Three's Aloud, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour, top of the second hour. Before we get to that, where the hell did I put this? I've still got the nerd on my screen, holy god.
I'd just like to thank some of the folks in the chat room for some of the brilliant memes they're posting in there. There's one with a picture of Biden on the front of Alzheimer's Today magazine, holding a banana instead of a phone. That's great, I love it.
He's too, yeah, because he's such a dumb fuck.
Another one with two ladies sat there pouring tea, having a cup of tea, and one of them's wearing a mask, and she's saying, "I don't wear my mask for me. I wear it for you, darling." And then the other one sat there saying, "Don't drag me into your psychosis." Love it. Thanks for the memes, folks. Yeah, they're great. They're always good to
Well, now you know how I feel about religions. Don't drag me into your psychosis. Fuck me.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just want to read out all of those good companies that are covering TCTA and WTFR. Tune In Radio, MyTuner, Listen Online Radio, Radio, Radio StreamMeter, StreamFinder, Radio Garden, as I always say, my favourite, Live Online Radio, and Streamer. Thank you to all of those also that don't like to be mentioned, but do their thing. And of course,
the hippies.
The hippies. Yes, of course, the hippies.
Thank you, hippies.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also got WTFR Direct. We've got Winamp. We've got Windows Media Player, Real Player, QuickTime. We cover everything we possibly can. And the two chat rooms are TCTA and Hawley's chat room as well. You can get on over to TCTAunleashed.info and go to the Streamlinks and chat room. And you'll find all of that there. For those of you that are listening via 107.9 FM and 1650 AM, all of that information is it's on the TCTAunleashed.info chat. Let me get it right. TCTAunleashed.info website. You'll find that under the stream links and chat room. There was some problems with the website again, even though I increased the memory, which increased the cost. It was really annoying, but I found a way to fix that. I have to basically reset the server once in a blue moon. So if you happen to come across the website and you say it's not working, just email us at dessnr@hotmail.com. That's dessnr@hotmail.com. And let me know. Just say, "Sean, your fucking website's not working, dude. Pull your finger out of your ass." And I will. and I'll reset the server and it starts working again. It's actually working quite quickly now. So there you go. All right.
Oh, what do you know? The old reset.
Yeah. It's like a remote reboot. That's what it is.
Great.
Yeah. A remote reboot. Now, I've got a treat for the audience. Because I was working all week and I got fuck all time to sit down and harvest articles and things like that. Things like that that upset me. for once. you know, what I did is I was sitting back talking with Shield Maiden. Now, for those of you who don't know, Shield Maiden is my significant other. She is my other half. She's the one that keeps me on the ground when I need grounding, just as Maleficus's missus does for him, everything like that. She helps me out by sending me articles and things like that. But because both her and I were busy, we didn't have a lot of time. But we were sitting around talking and she said, Sean, you know, I really wanted to dig up this song that you sung. And I said, which one was it? I've sung a lot of songs because when I do karaoke, I get a little drunky wonky and like to do a bit of karaoke. And she said, it was that one by Sting. It's probably me. Now, Maleficus, I sent it to you. And as you rightfully said, he really is a pretentious little prick. He's one of those people that I would really like to get in the ring. You know what I mean? And just sort him out. Say, right, you know, you think you're so good. All right, let's see how good you are, motherfucker, you know.
Let's see how good your tantric boxing is, you stupid fucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's just a...
Go on, tense. Yeah.
he's just a little prick, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's that pretentious little fuck that you just want to beat the shit out of. And, but the thing is, as you rightfully said also, he does write some good music and he does sing quite well, so... What happens is one drunk karaoke night, I got a bit drunky wonky and I ended up singing the song by Sting called It's Probably Me. Now, my daughter and I were sitting there listening yesterday and thinking, oh, this is going to be terrible because, you know, the only time I ever do karaoke is when I'm drunk. I don't do karaoke sober. So I thought this is going to be terrible. You know what? There were parts of this that weren't too fucking bad. So instead of just throwing doom and gloom at you every week, what I'm going to do is throw a little giggle at you. There's some parts in it where you'll go, oh, Sean, you really fucked that up. That's real bad, man. But there's going to be parts where you go, oh, not too bad, if I do say so myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play It's Probably Me by Sting, and I'm singing in the background as you'll hear. Have a bit of fun with this. Have a bit of fun.
And the stars look down, and you hug yourself on the cold, cold ground. You wake the morning in a stranger's coat. No one would you see. You ask yourself, who watched for me? My only friend, who could it be? It's hard to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. When your belly's empty, and the hunger's so real, and you're too proud to beg, and too dumb to steal, you search the city for your only friend, and no one would you see. Ask yourself, who watched for me? A solitary voice to speak out and set me free. I hate to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. You're not the easiest person I ever got to know, and it's hard for us both to let our feelings show. Some would say I should let you go. You're only made me cry. There's one guy, just one guy, who'd lay down his life for you and I. It's hard to say it, I hate to say it, but it's probably me.
You should have heard the bloopers behind this one, Maleficus. Holy fuck.
I had to say it. It's probably me. It's probably me. I had to say it. I had to say it. It's probably me.
Yeah, it took me like 3 tries karaoke that night because I was so pissed. But the thing is, I had a really fun time doing it. We always love our karaoke nights. Like, once in a blue moon, Beth will sort of join in, and Pat, well, Pat definitely, like, he used to not want to do karaoke at all, but now that he's older, he'll get stuck right into it with me. Like, we've got our arm over each other and everything like that. He's like, Dad, let's have some fun. And I'm like, yep, let's do it. He doesn't get drunk, of course. But I do, and yeah, no, just music.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, hat off to you, mate, because there were some really nice bits of that, and also hat off to you for actually, you know, having the balls to put your stuff out on the radio. You know, when you sing, you sort of you bare your soul just a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, you I think you put it best behind the scenes. You said that was a good effort. I mean, I'm not perfect.
I think I said it was a great effort.
It was a great effort. Yeah. And look, that's what it was. It was an effort, but it wasn't perfect. That's for sure. I'm never perfect when I sing.
Good to get together and have a little sing. Like, I mean, you know, my cousin is actually, she's a vocal coach. She's, you know, that's what she does. She, many years ago, back in the 80s, she actually had like record contracts and shit, you know.
Yeah.
She's sort of gone away from all that now, and she does you know, sort of vocal coaching. And one of her little things is that at the bottom of each email that she sends me, it's just a little signature that she puts on there, and it's when we sing together, our heartbeats synchronize, which I think is a lovely. It's not necessarily true, but it's a nice sentiment. you know, I think, you know, when you have a good sing, I think it releases certain endorphins and stuff. It's good for you. It's good for you. It's uplifting.
Yeah, you know? It's like, yeah, no, it is. It's very good for you. You know, even if you're bad at it. I noticed that Main Rebel Wolf in the chat room said, better than I could do. And then he said, I couldn't carry a tune with a bucket and a lid on it. You know, Main Rebel Wolf, it doesn't matter. You know, whether you're singing Who Made Who from AC/DC or Sweet Child of Mine from wherever, or you're singing something from Enya, you know, it just let your heart go, even if you're bad at it.
Have you done any covers from Enya?
I have, yeah, a lot, yeah.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell!
Yeah, I have.
Bloody hell!
Yeah.
That was a joke, but yeah, fuck yeah, great.
No, no, I've done a lot of covers from Enya and Lorena McKennitt. Just especially a Lorena McKennitt. I'm better at her music than what I am Enya. I can't sing "Sail Away" for shit. You know, if you want to know, if you want to know a bad tune, Main Rebel Wolf in the chat room. Listen to me sing Enya's "Sail Away, Sail Away, Sail Away." I'm fucking bad at it. Seriously, I love singing it. Don't get me wrong, I love singing it, but I do it alone where no one can hear it.
there's something really good for you. Yeah, it's a really good thing. It keeps you healthy, I believe, things like that. I mean, as you know, like, and probably some of the listeners know, I've mentioned before, I'm in a band and stuff, so I tend to do a lot of singing anyway. I don't mind it at all. And in fact, the guy that I'm in a band with, he writes a lot of the lyrics. He writes some really impressive lyrics, and I kind of enjoy just being the backing vocals, because I've got a really good ear for harmony. So
Yeah,
it's one of those things that, you know, I would advise anyone to do, you know, even if it's just a bit of car karaoke. Car karaoke is the best because no one can hear you. You know, just don't get so carried away that you don't concentrate on the road. That's all.
It's,
you know?
It's especially funny when you're riding along on the bicycle. Check this out. All right. I'm riding along on the bicycle and I don't realise that there's a group of riders coming up behind me, and I'm sitting there going, "Sweet Child of Mine," and I sound terrible at it, and they come up behind me and say, "Geez, you're enjoying yourself." And I'm like, yeah I am.
Yeah, Von Curtis has just said, "I do a pretty good Kate Bush." Fucking hell, mate, we all want to hear that. Send us in a recording.
Yeah.
Can you do Heathcliff for us? That would be great.
Music is the heart and soul of what you were talking about earlier. You know, you were sort of going on the whole faith thing, and you said spirituality is a good thing. Music is a big part of your spirituality.
Yes, it really is.
It really is. It brings something out of you. Like, for instance, I don't necessarily have to get in the boxing ring, although it helps me greatly. But, you know, to beat the shit out of someone, I'll have them that beat the shit out of me. It still gets the adrenaline rush going. But
yeah.
I don't need it. I don't necessarily need it. If I pump the music, I'm talking, when you see my studio, I've literally got 4 studio speakers, and when I pump this thing up, you can ask my daughter, it's so loud it's not funny. It rocks the house. Like, you can feel the window shaking. It's amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
So what I do is I just pump it right up, and I just scream when I sing, and it gives you that release. It gives you that release that you need in life. Everybody needs a release in some way, shape, or form. I used to punch the shit out of my pillow when I was upset with something, because it was sort of like that release I needed before I had a boxing bag, you know, the boxing bag. The
punch
thing,
bag, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, what you call a punching bag, yeah. What happens is I found that music gave me that release. When, you know, you're singing something like Guns N' Roses, "Don't Damn Me," you know, rah, 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 and you just go. And you feel better afterwards. It is something spiritual within us. The whole sine waves and everything that goes through our minds and our bodies, it's just everything about music I absolutely love.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've just sent you a couple of recordings of stuff that I've done previously in bands. So I mean, I don't think there's any of me singing on either of those. There might be on the Safe From Nothing cover, but in for a penny, in for a pound, you're sort of putting your stuff up. So
yeah,
there you go.
I've thrown something in from me for you as well.
There you go.
Let's do it. Because I didn't have a hell of a lot this week. Well, like, we've got some articles here, but we've still got plenty of time.
I've got a few things as well that, you know, yeah. But,
good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can take your pick between either of those two.
This is
when I was in a band with a girl who worked for the local council on the HR department, so we decided to call ourselves Firing Squad.
That's brilliant. Firing Squad, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, so basically these are both of these, so I don't know which one Sean's going to play, but they're both covers. One's a Massive Attack cover, one is a Porter's Head cover. So
absolutely nothing wrong with making these shows when we haven't had much time to sort of harvest articles or anything like that. Nothing wrong with them, with making impartial music shows, as far as I'm concerned. Let's have a listen to this. This Maleficus. What were you playing here, Maleficus? The guitar?
I'm always guitar. Yeah. For both of these tunes, I'm the only guitar. But I used to play through two channels, so that you sometimes you get the impression there's more than one. But
now, Safe From Nothing. Is this a cover?
Yeah, Safe From Nothing. It's basically a cover of Massive Attack's tune they did called Safe From Harm that was on the Blue Lines album, their first album.
Okay, cool. So, let's have a listen. Sounds like it's going to be interesting. Did you have the wah-wah going there, Maleficus?
I've had a little bit at the end.
Yeah, I heard it going like wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. I'm thinking, yep, I love it. I love the wah-wah. For those of you who don't know, the wah-wah is a pedal that you push while you're playing the guitar, and it makes it sort of sound like it's going wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah sort of thing.
Yeah, there's something really funny about those pedals, right? And that is when you first get one and you're trying to concentrate on making it go wah or ooh. Because
yeah.
when you pull your foot backwards, it goes to the sort of ooh vowel, and when you push your foot forwards, it goes wah.
Yeah.
And when you first get one, it's so hard not to make your mouth go wah ooh wah ooh wah ooh while you're trying to use it.
You know,
it really is.
You know, there's a funny story behind that as well, because you have to have all this coordination going on. Hand-to-eye coordination, foot-to-eye coordination, the whole lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've just invested in a talk box, actually, which is what you have. It's basically, it goes in between your amp and the speaker, and you have a pipe, a little tube that comes up right next to the mic, and you put the tube actually in your mouth, and you can...
That's right. Yep. That's the one that
you can actually make the guitar talk like properly.
But there's also, is that the one that they use wah, you know, when it comes to
Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, that was a famous one. Peter Frampton was very famous for using them as well.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. The amount of instruments you've got, like I've got a mouth harp where it goes, it almost sounds like a didgeridoo.
That a Jew's harp over here, by the way.
What's that, sorry?
The going, going, going thing. We call that a Jew's harp, mate.
Fuck off.
We do. We call it a Jew's harp. It's only got one string.
It does, yeah. We'll be right back. Two's Company, Three's Allowed. I'm going to take you to task after this break.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Radio X with your host, Jimmy X, 7 days a week. If you haven't heard of Radio X before, then you need to get on over to tctaunleashed.com. That's tctaunleashed.com and have a bit of a listen. Otherwise, you're missing out. Check out our schedule and have a bit of a listen to Jimmy X, tctaunleashed.com.
There was the stage, two red lights and a dodgy PA. Trod the planks way back then, and it's strange that you're here again. And I wish I knew the right words to make you feel better. Walk out of this place.
Obscenity invades every area of our lives, however much we do to try and repel it. Fear of the obscene is expressed in networks of vigilance, such as campaigns for public morality. Legislation about obscenity persists, and calls for its extension are frequent. But the fascination of the forbidden is irresistible, and obscenity can seem the nucleus of English eloquence. The English were once labelled les goddams by the French. Since the 1960s, they have been les fuck-offs. And among the many mentions of English-speaking culture is that snarling expletive, a two-word anthem for the Anglosphere. The Language Wars by Henry Hitchings.
If I could paint, I'd paint a portrait of you. Sunlight in your eyes, a masterpiece of truth. In a single tear, like a silent prayer.
Now, let me tell you something, young man. It's not a one-string harp. It's a one steel harp. It's a big piece of steel that you have to flick.
Yeah. I know. And it goes boing, oing, 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 oing. It's like they use for like cowboy movies and shit.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah, mate, honestly, I'm not shitting you. Over in the UK, we call that a Jew's harp. And I never knew why. I just assumed it was because it only had one string. Oy vey, that's too many strings. Just give it one.
They only need one string. We'll talk about that at another time.
I'm not quite sure where you were going with that. The mind is boggling right now. Yeah, that's fine. That's
well,
good.
Well, let me put it this way. They only need one rope, okay? So what happens is I love instruments to the ends. We're on the instrument thing now, ladies and gentlemen. We do have articles and everything to get to, but sometimes we just like to have a little bit of fun to lighten the mood.
Yeah, Sean likes talking about his instrument. Come on, let's hear it.
Good on ya. Who just lowered the friggin' threshold there? Wasn't me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to see if you can better me at some point, you know.
If you're talking about my instrument, I'm not about to show you.
It's all right. I'm sure it'll look great on radio, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah, but no, I love instruments of all kinds. Like, I've played... Fuck off.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh shit! My actual mouth harp is called Snoopy's harp. I said to Beth, I said I want a new mouth harp. Let's go to the music shop, and I'm going to get a mouth harp, and I'm also going to get the another harmonica. And I walked in, and they had Snoopy's harp right there because my dog Snoopy is named Snoopy. I had to get it. But it's the shittest harp I've ever played. It's the worst thing I've ever played. It's horrible. But
they're great, those things, because that's all about making shapes with your mouth and making different sort of.
That's right.
Making it resonate in your mouth in different ways, which is great.
Yeah.
The only thing that's really bad about them, because they are of steel construction, is that's when right. you get a tooth in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, the steel hits steel hits the tooth. So you've got to really get a knack for not allowing it to do that. Yeah. Look, I love every instrument on the face of the planet. If you ever get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, look up Lorena McKennitt, when she was in, I'll put it in the show notes because I've forgotten the name of the country she was in at the time. But you've really got to check out all of these different instruments that I'd never heard of before until I watched this one thing with her in it, and all of these different people. It was just great. I love every instrument I can get my hands on. I play the drums. That's my passion. My main passion is drums. I've played the guitar. I played the bass guitar for 2 years. I play the piano quite well. Just any instrument you can get your hands on, and don't be afraid of it. You know, everybody, this is one thing I've realized actually, Maleficus, is that people are afraid of doing it because they're going to be bad at it. But you're meant to be bad at it first. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't really appreciate a great guitarist or a great saxophonist if everyone could just do it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's afraid of doing it because they're scared they're going to do it wrong. Pardon me.
Yeah. That's the point I'm making. Don't worry about doing it wrong. Like, you know, if it was easy to do, or if everyone could just pick it up, you know, then it would be of no consequence to listen to some of the greats. You know, but
yes.
As it is, you do have to work at it, and that you, I can honestly say with the guitar, I have got as much out of the guitar as I have put into it. I've been playing the guitar since I was a teenager, like in my late teens, about 18, 19, I started playing, and you know, yes, it takes a bit of effort, but as soon as you can start reproducing something that you can recognize, there's your zest. I mean, I'm not being funny, right? But so many people, when they first started learning guitar, their parents would send them off on a guitar lesson, and they never picked up the fucking thing again. You know, they go to three or four guitar lessons and get bored of it. Don't do that. What you want to do is find a mate that can teach guitar, or find a mate that knows how to play the guitar, and just say, I really want to learn how to play this particular song. Can you teach it me? And just learn what you want to learn rather than what you're told, what you would be expected to learn. So, for me, when I started playing guitar, Pink Floyd was a really big thing for me. So I said to my mate, I said, can you teach me, Mother by Pink Floyd, or, you know, from the Wall album? And he said, yeah, sure. And that's where I started, you know?
Yeah. You know,
and as soon as you realize that, you know, there's only seven chords in the whole world, as far as Westerners are concerned, anyway. It's slightly different if you're Chinese or Japanese, but as far as Westerners are concerned, well, they have like literally like quarter notes and stuff, don't they? And like sitars have like you know, basically very deep frets so that they can bend past, you know, the notes that we would use, but. There's only seven chords in the whole world. How hard can it be, people?
You know, it's, well, you know.
In fact, if anyone, I'll say this now, mate, honestly, genuinely, if anyone would like an online guitar lesson, I'll happily give a couple of lessons free to people. No problem. Just give us a shout through the website.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll jump onto Skype and I'll show you how to play. It's fine.
You know, it's easy. This is how I learned drumming. For those of you who are interested in drumming but think, well, I'm crap at it and I just don't know what to do, if you ask any of my friends, the way I learned drumming, I did not even own a drum kit. I was sitting there and drumming in air. So the most important thing with drumming is getting your coordination right. So most people find it hard to be tapping with your right hand, which would be your hi-hat, right? And then using your foot as your bass drum, and then using your left foot as opening the hi-hat and closing it and stuff like that. So that's most of the problem with drumming. You don't need to be low in confidence, because when no one's around, just do it on the air and you know, watch your favorite bands, follow their footsteps, and do it like that. That's what I did. And then I started doing it on pots and pans. And just to see if I could do it, I did it on pots and pans, literally. Like, I sat a pan in front of me as my hi-hat, and pots in front of me, right? And in the end, then a mate of mine actually bought me my first drum kit. He bought it around and said, Sean, I need a drummer. You can obviously drum, you know. So I bought you a drum kit. And I went, you bought me a drum kit? Like, really? And off I went. And all I'd been doing before that was pots and pans and in the air type drums. Like, people would air guitar. You know what I'm saying? It was sort of like that, except with drums, it's a lot easier when it comes to air drumming compared to air guitar, because you don't know what frets you're hitting when you're air guitaring if you've never done it before. But it's music is such a beautiful thing. It's, I look at it this way. It really does give you release. It gives you that spirituality. It gives you joy. It might seem difficult at first, but once you get past those teething problems, and that's all they are, once you get past those teething problems, it becomes your life. You'll play the harmonica, you'll play the mouth harp, you'll want to play the trumpet, you'll want to play the saxophone, and which I've played all of, piano. I love piano. I still love playing the piano. I went to my next door neighbors at one stage and started playing there, and it really, like, they were sort of like, holy crap, you can play. And I went, like, yeah. And because I sold my piano, in fact, while we're on the subject, and this is not a bragging point for Maleficus or I, this is just what we do. Once I had a Bösendorfer, and I got rid of the Bösendorfer when I started hiking. And I thought, shit, I wish I'd never really got rid of that piano. It was one of the most beautiful instruments on the face of the planet. So what I did is I taught myself how to play on the QWERTY keyboard. For those of you who don't understand what that means, you know, whether you be over 107.9 or 1650 AM, because I know a lot of the elderly listen to the show over these frequencies, Maleficus.
Okay.
The QWERTY is the computer keyboard. And the reason we call it the QWERTY is because it's Q-W-E-R-T-Y as the first first five letters. Or is it six? No, it's five. Is it six? Hang on. One, two, three, four, five, six. It's six. So, my mathematics sucks, but my instrumentation is great. But what happens is I learned how to play the piano on the actual QWERTY keyboard so that I can get that release, if you will, need to play. I'm going to get a piano again. I will get a piano again. I don't like the electronic keyboards. I like them just for the MIDI to be able to track and everything like that, but I don't like them necessarily, unless they're velocity sensitive, which means...
Yeah,
like,
they're normally sort of three-stage, aren't they, most of them? You can get five-stage, but they're a bit more money.
That's right. Yeah. So what we're talking about when it comes to velocity sensitive is the harder you press the key, the louder it's going to play, or the more hard hitting it's going to play, just like a real piano. This is why I rather the piano, because it's just perfect. Even a cheap piano is perfect compared to an electronic velocity sensitive keyboard sort of thing. So yeah, we've really gone off on a musical tangent here, Maleficus.
I mean, at some point this evening, not right now, maybe when we're leading out or for a break or whatever, I've sent you a very, very recent work in progress. There's no bass guitar over it yet, and it is literally just a rough run through, but this is basically stuff that I remember. I said earlier my mate Jeff is a brilliant lyricist, and I tend to write a lot of the riffs. He tends to write a lot of the songs. So I've just sent you an MP3 called Reset.
Yep.
And
I've got it. I've downloaded it.
This is something that was brought up before I'd even heard of the Great Reset. But it's very poignant. So at the moment we're looking at booking some like proper studio time. We do have our own little studio, but looking at booking some proper studio time and getting the lads together and actually putting getting, you know, three or four tunes together just to pop up on the net, which obviously you're more than welcome to play on this network, and I'll send it out to some of the other lads as well, Giuseppe and stuff. So it's all sort of poignant stuff, and if we don't release them now, they'll be out of date, you know, in a year's time, the rate that shit's moving at the moment.
I hear. Listen, before we do that, because I've played one of mine, you've played one of yours, where I was doing karaoke, but you played one of the songs that you played. I did one called My World years ago. I'm talking, it was about 2001, maybe 2002. Now,
okay,
what happens is we played it live first, but then we took it to the tracker, as you do when you want to bring out an album. It didn't come out too well in the tracker, but it came out well enough that people can sort of get the gist of it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play My World. And what it was about was it was sort of like an empathy song. Take a step into my world and, you know, feel my pain and shit like that. Or feel my happiness, whatever.
Okay, so was this you and, like, I take it this is you and some guys, or just you on your own or whatever?
No, there was three of us when we played it live. When we did the tracking, it was just me and the singer. He's singing and I'm singing as well. I was not a singer, but we didn't have anybody else at the time to sing the, I guess you could say the My World part. You'll recognize the difference between him and I. This is called My World. This was with, a gentleman by the name of Greg, which was our singer. And he was schizophrenic. So he was continuously on this medication called Haldol Decanate, which really fucked him around sometimes. So the singing took his mind off it, sort of thing, which was really good for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Therapeutic, yeah.
Yeah, great. It really was therapeutic for him. So we got together and we played it live, and then after we played it live, we tracked it, and he sung to the tracking, and so did I. So here we go. Go. You can hear how it is sort of robotic because it was tracked after we played it live. It was much better live.
Actually, that was I really enjoyed that. That was very melodic, actually. And yeah, when everything kicked in, because I'm used to working with MIDI and stuff. Well, many years ago I was. Yeah. But when everything kicked in with the drums and everything, yeah, that was really filled out. It was nice. I sort of got into the groove there. I enjoyed that.
Well, coming nice from one. You, that's like tilt of the hat to you, you know, because...
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. They're not hollow words, mate. I mean it.
That's what I mean. Coming from you, it means a lot because, you know, you've played a lot more live music up on stage and everything like that. Like, I've played live many, many times, but... not on stage as much as what you have. So, yeah, again, coming from you, that means a lot to me. Yeah, it was like, it sounded better live, but the thing is, I said to Greg, I said, listen, I want to get this tracked out so we can actually put it on an album. And we made an album. And the album went pretty good. Like, we didn't sell it. We gave it away free because we wanted to get a taste for what people liked and didn't like. So yeah, it's
whereas nowadays Sean would just be like, this is what it is, fuck you if you don't like it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. How long does Reset go for? Because we've only got
not very long, mate. Just it's only about 3 minutes long. So
3:17. We're four, so 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, we might just make it. Let's give it a go.
Go on, squeeze it in there. I'll explain anything I have to afterwards.
Oh, I like this. Awesome shit. I like that. I especially love the guitar. Like, that really...
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Well, basically, just to briefly say, me and Jeff, Jeff's the singer, me and Jeff recorded that pretty much in one hit. He is the lead guitarist for that one. I normally play lead work, but so mine was the riff and the rhythm. And we sent it off to our drummer, who, without even having any kind of click track or anything, had to just kind of guess how to put the drums over it, because he was living away at the time. So
just doing licks, just for
the drummer's sake, I just want to let you know that the drums were done separate. And he didn't have anything to work to. So
no, good on him. Good on him. You know what? And just doing licks with each other is the easiest thing to do to get a song going. Tracking is so fucking difficult to just come up with something. We'll talk about a little bit more about this. I'm enjoying this conversation. I hope you are too, ladies and gentlemen. We don't, you know, this show, it just doesn't always go as planned. So...
it was still a good cunt of the week.
excellent cunt of the week. When we come back, I want to discuss this a little bit more with you, Maleficus, about, you know, how when you're just playing live is so much easier than tracking or anything like that. You just come up with something and everyone clicks into gear when they're in a band. We'll talk more about this when we get back.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head there.
Oh, yeah. .9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between the different Aussie slangs. Say that three times fast. Normal slang, how are you going? Yobbos, scan on. You know, how you going? Then you've got Kath and Kim. Yeah, right, Mum. Yeah, right. And of course, you've got the Howzos. Smell those fish and chips. Oh, Lynn, can we go and get some? Get your moccasins on. Then, of course, you've got the truck drivers. When we get to the pub, mate, pull up a pew, grab a beer, you know, have a bit of a talk. And, of course, the worst of all, the poofters. Yeah, like, absolutely.
WTFR. Welcome to Two's Company Three's Aloud with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the new world order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, top of the third hour, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company Three's Loud, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio, with you, Malefic Sentius and myself, Sean Surplus. We're talking about music at the moment. Sometimes this is what happens on TCTA. We don't always tend to wax political or anything like that. We'll have all this political stuff in front of us, and then something will come aboard and we'll just go, well, shit, let's talk about this, you know, because it needs to be spoken about. And given that it was a really busy week, Maleficus fell ill, and also I had to do a hell of a lot of work this week. I've got another venesection coming up. Just love getting 400 mils of fucking blood sucked out of me every fortnight. Yeah, this is fucking cool.
You so need a pet leech.
Yeah, I fucking do. I need 16, 17, 18, 20 pet leeches just to be able to do the fucking job. Oh, man. But I'm really enjoying this conversation. You know, we were talking before we came into this hour, just as we were coming out, about how you just click in. Now, what I mean by clicking the gear, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that aren't band members, when you jam, You basically sit down. You might have the bass going boom, 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 right? And then all of a sudden, I'll just start playing the drums. They're like... And then you'll have Maleficus come in, and he'll like... And you just follow each other. There's really nothing to it. It's not like sitting down and composing music on a piece of sheet, as you would make it sheet music. You just jam. You just go with each other, and it just clicks together. And that's when you really start to create music. See, classical music needs to be written on sheet. There's no doubt about it. All right, but when you're a metal band or a rock band or something like that, you just need to sit down with each other and just start doing something, and something comes to life. Not just in the music, but in your heart. You're sort of like, oh yeah, this feels good. This feels really good. And next thing you know, you've got a beautiful piece of rock music, or a beautiful piece of grunge music, whatever it is that your heart's set on. Would you agree, Maleficus?
Totally. I mean, one of the things, I mean, when you're saying about doing stuff in a studio and or what you call tracking down.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we have attempted to play our tunes in our studio to a click track in order to make it regimented, you know, easy to, so I could send off a piece of music to, like, there's a couple of guys that come and drum with me and Jeff. But I could send a piece of music over to one of them and say, it's at this BPM. You know, that's the idea. It's this many beats per minute. And, do you know, every time we sit down and try and jam to a click track, it takes all the fucking soul out of it.
Yeah.
All the soul.
Yep. Agreed.
And I think, you know, bands, you mentioned AC/DC earlier, they were one of those bands that said, we're not playing to a fucking click track. It just takes all the music out of it. Takes all the feeling out of it, you know? So we vowed not to bother doing that again. I think, you know, music is supposed to speed up and slow down, and it's all about emotion.
Yeah,
music has the ability to instill within the listener emotion, and it may be different emotions for different types of music. As we covered before on one of the broadcasts, you know, major chord happy, minor chord sad, and you know, when you sort of go about creating a piece of music, it creates a feeling and a mood and and that's what those around you feed off and get into. That's what they call getting into the groove. It's not. It's actually getting into the groove. Sometimes is sort of considered the rhythmical side of things, but actually getting into the groove of a piece of music is really being channeling. It's channeling. What is a groove in a piece of vinyl? It's a channel, you know, and. It's everyone channels into that one sort of, and eventually if the jam goes really well, you can more or less guarantee that everyone was on the same frequency, you know.
That's right.
The best way I can put it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're what you call bang on. You know, you do have to be on the same frequency, and it's just, it's also...
You know, sometimes the frequency is just, you can relate to that frequency. Someone plays something and you can relate to that and you just drop into it. And because you've dropped into it so well, the drummer then thinks, oh, wow, yeah, this makes me feel like this. And they do something.
That's
and
right.
Lo and behold, yeah, you're jamming. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you really have to fall into it. Like, I've been to places where a bass player just starts playing something like even, you know, slap bass, where you're like, bum, 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 sort of thing. And yeah. I just, straight away on the drums, I'm like, and then I'll change a bit so that it doesn't go directly with the bass, so it sounds like a drawn out. You just know what to do. for some reason. It's weird. It's
well, when you experiment, you create different feelings, and that sometimes people pick up on those, sometimes they don't. I said, yeah, that's why it's a wonderful thing. It really is. It's a gift. It is an absolute gift to humanity. Music is a gift. I'm not sure who gave the gift, but let's not get back to the beginning of the show because I don't want to get you angry again.
No, no.
You seem quite chilled at the moment.
No. You know, I'm all, like I was saying from the beginning, I'm all for people being religious. But when you're religious, don't fucking tell me that you're going to force your shit down my throat. That's as easy as it gets. Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, good to have a good discussion about music and how we sort of go about it. Can I ask you a quick question, Maleficus? When did you get into music again? You said something earlier, about 19, I think.
Well, I started playing guitar. I exchanged my first motorcycle for, I part-exed it for a guitar and amp, because I just really wanted to get into it.
Yeah.
And that was when I was 19. So I'm 45 now, so you can do the maths. I've been playing.
Well, I'll put it this way to you. I'll put it this way to you. You know, when, like you said earlier, you know, when you're trained, it takes the passion out of it. When you're tracked, it takes the passion out of it. As you said again, with AC/DC, the reason they did so well is because they just went out of their way to be a garage band, because they were a garage band, just like Metallica. Metallica were a garage band as well. That's where the passion comes from. So if anybody is listening to this right now and they think they want to get into music, don't get trained. You know, maybe with the piano, okay? The piano lessons are pretty important, but don't be afraid to play the piano alongside a garage band, because you can do a lot. That's how Axl Rose did it in Guns N' Roses. He was trained to a certain degree, but he got into it with the garage bands and everything like that. Do it yourself.
It's not so much even being trained. I mean, it's basically, I believe that everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses, and you don't need to learn from sheet music to become a musician. That's the bottom line. Like I say, if anyone wants to learn the guitar, feel free to give me a shout. I'll quite happily, you know, jump on Skype and show some basic hints and tips, but the most important thing, whenever I've taught people guitar, I always say, come to me with a tune that you want to learn.
Yep.
I will then go away and I will work out, not learn, I will just work out how it's played.
Yep.
I do everything by ear, so I'll work out how it's played, and then I will go back and I will show them what's being done and how it why it works like that, and go away, there's the theory, and come back in a bit when you've learnt to make the same noises, and it'll be as easy as I show you. It really is. It is that simple.
Yeah, so. I wholeheartedly concur when you say the sheet music. Like, I wholeheartedly agree. Like, the sheet music thing is so fucking overrated, it's not funny.
It's very important. It's highly important. It's a brilliant language. It's an amazing language.
It is for certain pieces of music. For instance, classical and stuff like that, you definitely need it. I just don't think you need it for rock and grunge and everything like that. You do.
I disagree with you there. Look, sheet music comes from an era where we didn't have recording equipment. And therefore, somebody could reproduce something by reading it, like you would
read
a book
my point.
And tell a story.
But that's my point. You know, we don't need it anymore because we have recording equipment and everything like that. We just do it like you did with just jamming with your friends, and you're able to pump something out, no problem at all. You know, back then we probably needed it, and I think with classical music we still do. But
again, there is a mathematical and technical side to it. So, for instance, there's a reason why there's 12 frets on a guitar neck. Mathematically, there is. So it is very useful for that, but it's not something that I've ever had. I understand its significance, but it's never something I've had to focus on. Ever.
Yeah.
I just play.
Yeah. No, that's my point. Look, if you make something, then somebody needs it on the sheet to be able to play it. But if it's just going to be for you and your band, and you just, you know, jam something out, then why? Why bother? You know, seriously.
Well, it's the band that we had, all you want to do is play.
Well, yeah, the band that we had, right? The band we had has never been put on cheap music, ever. And we created all of our own music. We created some really great songs. Here, let me play you one from Speedy and myself and Greg. He wasn't called Speedy because he was on speed. Everyone thinks that. And I don't know whether that's what you were thinking, but let me play you one. They call him
Actually,
Speedy.
I was just laughing about how this has turned into a more of a music show this evening.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. And I hope the audience is too. We don't do music nights as much as what we used to. So, where are you? Where? Just bear with me. It's here somewhere. There we go. I think it's these ones here. Except I don't know what their names are. No, that's not it. That's one of them. Okay, just bear with me, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and find... let's have a look. What's this one here? No, that one. Here we go. No, that's not it. Fuck. Hold on. Okay, so I was on the drums. He's on the acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Greg was singing. We'll soon see. But here you go. This one's called Evil. Actually, no, that's Speedy singing, not Greg. So there you go.
Oh,
Now, we did that just straight off the top of our heads. So he was just started guitaring. It was actually Greg that originally sung that. But
right.
He started guitaring. Greg started singing. I started drumming. And that's how it went. We just did it a few times after that to make sure we knew what it was. There was no sheet music, no nothing, just us sitting there recording ourselves doing it, and it just came out. I just did, that's a basic beat for me. That's a real basic beat. And he was just playing some basic riffs and everything like that, and we just started going to work. And next thing you know, you've got a song in front of you, you know? So yeah. That's why go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like I say, there's only seven notes in the whole world.
Yeah.
Or seven,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Seven chords, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, seven notes, if you want to look at it that way. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
So, it's not that hard. It's a shame people don't produce more. And, you know, if people focused on that more than they focused on the fucking, as I keep calling it, the rectangle babysitter in the corner of the fucking room, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, well, it's like an art in itself. Even though I know you keep saying that it's a very simple thing, but it's still an art. Like, it's something that you have to master to be able to create.
I've got a counter to that, and I used to listen to, we had the Mississippi Delta's flood, going back a few years now, but back in the 20s is when they flooded really badly the last time, and that is when all the blues music got flooded out of the Mississippi Delta, into mainstream life.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is, it's one thing to play covers, it's another thing to master the art to create something new. That's what I mean.
I agree with that. But then even when you play covers, I mean, we never played covers and tried to do them perfectly. We kind of made them our own. Because that's, otherwise there's no, it's robotic, that it's generic, there's no feeling there.
You that's
may as
right.
well be playing to a click track or trying to mimic the record playing in the corner of the room.
What I was going to say was the
blues guitarist that got, because I used to love listening to the old blues guitarists, and when I'm talking the old blues guitarists, I'm talking people like Sun House, Robert Johnson's a bit commercialized for me. Sunhouse, Mississippi Fred McDowell, people like that who were just genuine players. And what they would do, they would turn up at these supposed blues players' houses. I've got a recording of Sunhouse where you can actually hear steam trains going back in the past in the background. And you can hear the whole family sat round in the room while there's a guy, he's turned up with a fucking tape-to-tape big bloody great recorder and a microphone to sit in the middle of the room. Can I record you? And they'd be like, yeah, and then they'd go off and make loads of money, and the fucking blues players would get fuck all for it.
But
these recordings still exist. And one of the things that the guy was asking Sunhouse, how do you play the blues? And he was like, oh, I always get people, and I'm not going to put on the accent, but he said, I always get people coming up to me and saying, oh, how do you play the blues? And look, it's a mood, it's a feeling, it's how you feel at the time. Do you know, all the decent blues guitarists, or what you would consider a decent blues guitarist, back when the Mississippi Delta flooded in the 20s, all they did was open tune their guitar. So they would tune the strings so that when you strummed them, when they were open, when you weren't putting your hands on them, on the fretboard at
all,
it would make a nice noise. It would be, that's what they call an open tuning. And then they would just start messing about with one string while they were strumming and making that string stay in key or harmonize with the, they'd play a melody over the top of the chord. And then they realized that if they put their fingers flat over the fretboard, you could move that chord up in pitch up the fretboard. And then they started creating all this wonderful music. And one of the most awesome things about all the old blues guitarists is the rhythm. It's just the rhythm that they've got going with one hand while they're doing funny shit. We're not talking about like the finger picking and stuff like that. I'm talking about genuinely the genuine old sort of blues guitarist.
The whole boom, 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 boom sort of thing.
No, that's very modernized. No, you would have something that was literally just...
So you're going back to the 1940s. 1940s
no,
type blues.
No, the 20s. The 20s, mate.
Oh, wow. So, really?
Yeah, so you would literally just have someone that was sort of going... And then it'd be... And they would build a whole tune out of that and start just, you know, and then they'd put their finger flat on the fretboard in another place and it would change the pitch, and then they'd change the pitch of their voice and what they were seeing. And he said, Sunhouse actually said, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's kind of a quote, but it's paraphrasing. He said, you have people coming up to me asking me how to play the blues. And they always come up and say, I've got the blues, here it is. And it's some sort of butter, butter, butter thing.
Mm.
He said, that ain't the blues. He said, you can sing the blues in church. He said, it's a mood. It's a feeling. It's something that comes up from inside of you, basically,
now,
is what he was
now
saying.
Now, here's a question for you. What was the best year for jazz, in your opinion? In your opinion, what was the best mood for jazz, best year for jazz?
So I am more of a... I'm not into the whole... fucking Gaylord, like, I'm really technically clever, I'll back myself musically into a corner and fight my way back out again, sort of jazz playing. I'm not into that.
What I'm saying is I
prefer what you would call traditional jazz. So I'm talking like 1930s, 1940s.
There we go.
Big band swing.
That's the best
big
year.
Big band swing.
That was the best year. The best year, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what anyone says, was the 1940s, especially in LA. 1940s LA jazz was the best fucking time for jazz, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not into that chaotic jazz. That makes no sense to me at all. I'm into the controlled jazz where it did have harmony. It was melodic, the whole lot. I loved it. The 1940s jazz was the perfect for me.
I love big band swing. That's one of my cherished passions. So
yeah.
Big band swing, you know, we're talking the likes of... Glenn Miller, that kind of thing. I love that sort of feel.
Yep.
But I'm a massive, as I've said before, I'm a massive fan of Charlie and His Orchestra, who were the German propaganda band that played out of Germany, mimicking all this stuff but putting over propaganda lyrics. I've got a massive collection of their stuff, and I really enjoy listening to them back to, you know, some of the messages they were trying to give us in the middle of the war. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
really good. Really
I
good.
Loved it. Hey, look, I fucking loved it. You know, especially when, since you mentioned Glenn Miller, I know Paul English is not too fond of him. At least I don't think he is. He was sort of like just like taken away with that I had Glenn Miller running as a break. But that whole like, right? I'm sort of like, every time I hear that, I can't help but get down and boogie.
Tap your feet music. It's tappy, but you can't help but smile, I think, when you listen to stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the funny story behind Glenn Miller is that he was a crypto Jew, and it turns out he died in a plane crash. And I think,
don't know whether that's entirely true, mate, to be honest.
No, you actually explained that. Do that again for me. What was it about?
Okay, so he apparently died over the English Channel flying back from France during the war.
Yeah.
That is the mainstream story.
That's right.
There's a very famous actor over here, or used to be, a guy called David Niven, or Sir David Niven. Back, I think he died late 80s, something like that. But he was actually Glenn Miller's boss over here when he came to perform for the British forces and the, you know, the Allied forces. It was David Niven was in the British Army at the time, and he was in charge of where Glenn Miller was sent and his safety and all that kind of thing. And the official story goes that Glenn Miller was shot down over the English Channel, or that they crashed over the English Channel and he died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
There is also another story that says that he died of a heart attack while being with a French prostitute.
That's the one. Yeah,
And there is also reason, because he looked very gaunt and quite ill in the last lots of footage of him. There is also reason to believe that he died of cancer, and there is a gravestone, I believe, in his hometown, with bearing the name Glenn Miller, dying in the 40s. So, I would like a bit of clarity on that myself, to be honest. I've not bothered going too far into it, but I do know that there are other stories.
No, you and I spoke about how we were going to look into it. We just haven't had time to do it.
We just didn't do it. Yeah. No, yeah. Well, it's not top of my priority list, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of awful shit going on at the moment, which obviously has sort of pipped Glenn Miller at the post. So.
Well, that's right. And here we are in the meantime playing music.
Hey, well, look, talking of music, play the other one that I sent you then. This is it's that same band, but this was recorded on someone's iPhone. And this was the first night that Lisa, the singer, had come to join us. And she was a bit nervous. And I think we were all a bit nervous because you're meeting someone new and all that kind of thing. So literally everyone, while this song is going on, they've all got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth or whatever, because you know
are you talking about Glory Box?
Yeah, Glory Box. Yeah, so this was a Portishead cover, and this goes back to what I was saying as well. You know, you can keep the hooks in that make everyone recognize a song, but you can still make it your own.
Yeah, so, you can.
Yeah this was least, I mean, I don't know whether we're coming up to a break, are we, or have you killed the brakes?
No, I haven't killed the brakes. I can do that.
Leave it till after the break then, because you're not going to get it to play in 30 seconds, I'm sure.
No. It takes one button click to kill the brakes, so let's do that. I want to hear this. So Glory Box, and this is when your singer was first coming into...
This is the first time. I mean, this is an old band. It's not my current band, but this is when this was the first night the singer had joined us, and we showed her how to use the little vocal pedal that we had, because it had a little echoey bit for a part of the song.
Right. Yep.
And I've got the video of this. You could actually see her sort of like looking across and pressing the button. One of us obviously was nodding behind camera, and she pressed the button at the right time.
Since we've killed the brakes, let me tell you, when I first had to get up on stage with my drum kit, I had a piece kit at the time. I was scared shitless. But then when I actually got up behind the band, because of course the drum kit's up the back, you know, you mic them up and everything like that, and you think, oh God, what's this all take? Rah, rah, rah. I was scared shitless. But then because the singer's right there in front, everyone focuses more on the singer than what they do, everybody else. So I felt comfortable immediately afterwards. So when I first got up there, I jumped in. And ladies and gentlemen, don't feel afraid, because the people that are coming to watch you sing or watch you drum or play the bass guitar or the guitar, they're there for a good time. They don't care. They're not going to glare you in the eye as if, oh, I wonder like how this person's going to be. You know, they don't give a shit. All they care about is you playing music. And that's one thing you got to keep in mind. So when I actually got up in the drum kit, first I was sort of like, I was a pussy bitch. And then
it can be really daunting, though, because, I mean, you know, you're playing in front of a bunch of people you don't even know.
Yeah.
And after a while, you get to thinking, well, I don't even know them.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It starts off, oh, I don't know these people, and then after a while, it's like, oh, I don't even know them.
You know, so, you know what got me used to it? Shield Maiden's going to hate me for this. What got me used to it was the girls tended to not throw themselves at the drummer, but they were always checking the drummer out. So when I was sitting up there and I started drumming, and I, like, when, especially if I did a solo, like the singer would say, Sean's going to do a solo and I would go to work on the drums really big time, the girls would really start to give you the smiles and everything like that. So I was sort of like, oh, this is not bad. This is not shabby at all.
We would all be lying if we said we weren't put on this earth to receive attention in some way, shape, or form from the opposite sex in to create, procreate, and make families. So
exactly. But the only opposite sex I have now is Shield Maiden. So I've got to make that clear, because she's going to listen back to this and she's going to say, Shawnee.
Sean, you're not doing any live gigs, are you?
Exactly. No. My life is dedicated to her. She knows it. All right, let's have a listen to this glory box that you did. It seems like it's going to be fun.
Go round and round, never stop.
There we go. Maleficus at his best.
Well, hardly at my best, old boy. It's just a cover.
No, but, I was joking.
You
was
see
like...
how you can make a cover your own, though. You know, it's just
yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to reiterate that that was the first night she'd come to sing with us, so she was kind of like a bit on edge and like, you know, as we all were meeting someone new, and she fucking pulled that one out of the bag. We're just like, yeah, she's a keeper, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, she did. She did well. She did really
yeah,
well.
She did.
Yous all did. I enjoyed it. Now I've got one for you. This was now. There's some bad language in this, of course, because we were young back then. When I had my acoustic set, my piece kit, people are either going to love or hate this. This was Faith in Life, and we were with a band called Battle Axe, which is probably the worst name you could ever have for a band, but we were. And oh, we were just young, dumb, and yeah.
Finish that sentence.
Yeah, right. Having some fun. We were young, dumb, and having some fun.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Finish the sentence.
That's right.
That's not a problem.
Exactly, right? Of course.
So, I knew that's what you were going to say.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, Maleficus. So. All right. So this is Faith in Life. Now, for what I understand, because this is a really old video, it was one of the old cameras that used a tape. Can you believe such a thing?
I still own one of those. What the fuck are you on about?
Right? You know, I've got one. I've got two. I think two or three of them sitting in me storage. But yeah, my daughter actually, she gets in the car and she goes, "Dad, what's that?" I went, "It's a tape." And she goes, "What's a tape?" And I went, "It's what you play music on. You know, you put it in the tape recorder." I said, "Don't worry about it, darling. You'll never understand." God, makes me feel so old. But this one was called Faith in Life. And this is one of the ones that we just played straight off our heads. Speedy started playing the guitar. I started playing the drums. Greg started singing. And that's the way it worked. You know, we didn't do any sheet or anything like that. And, yeah, it was really fun. But it may only be one channel. So for those of you that are listening via headphones, just expect it to either just come through the left or the right, because it's an old... It did come off tape, and it was pretty screwed up back then. Sooner or later, I'm going to make it so it's mono. At the moment, it may be one channel, I'm not sure.
Thank you.
There you go. One channel, shitty tape recorded music session.
Yeah, I caught very little of that because obviously I'm in the other headphone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, mixer-wise, because I'm assuming it's a mono input on the mixer. Both my headphones were in the other headphone.
There we go.
So that was like 3-4 minutes of dead air for me, but I did listen intently just in case I could pick anything.
Yeah, no, it's a shitty thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to convert it to mono. I mean, I could have pulled up one of the plugs, but every time I do that, things get screwed up. So I'm just going to convert it to...
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, last tune from me for the evening, I've sent you to play at your leisure. This was built back when in the early days of me actually using sequencing software, and it uses a guitar sample of a guy that is one of my really good mates, and he's sadly no longer with us. That'll be my last. I know we've still got a quarter of an hour left, so
let's do that.
But that'll be my last one of the evening.
Okay. That. Yep. Let's do that. Let's do that. We've turned it into a music show, and I'm okay by that. You know, we don't do many music shows anymore. We need to do more. I love talking about how fucked up Corona is, and like how people are bullshitting about it and everything like that. I really do. But once in a while, you know, we just need to let loose and have a bit of fun, and that's what we're doing. Obviously. Tonight, this afternoon, this morning, depending on where people are.
I mean, I have got a whole load of articles across the top of my tabs here, like, but I'm
tell me about
to bring
it.
Any of them up.
Yeah, tell me I'm about loathed. It. Like, I've got fucking articles pouring out of my asshole. I really have. And I just don't give a shit at the moment. I've been enjoying this conversation about music and the music that we've been making and everything like that a whole lot more. And, you know, for those people that want to listen in and say, oh, you really didn't have anything to offer, well, fuck off. You know, if you can't enjoy music and enjoy yourself a little bit in between all of this discourse, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. You know, obviously, Maleficus and I, we're musicians. We have been most of our lives. And we enjoy talking about music. And we don't even really do it that much behind the scenes. Every now and then. So what we've done
is... I do it every week, actually, but you've only had a sneak preview of some of that. All I've really played you guys this evening is just previous stuff, other than the sneak preview of the one that we will be getting in the studio at some point very soon, hopefully.
Yeah, now we're getting a big storm coming through. The thunder is really rolling here, so if all of a sudden I get cut off, you know why. We are... I'm going to play this now, just in case we do get cut off.
All right. Well, yeah,
let's do this.
Yeah, this is my old mate Simon.
Okay. Sorry to hear he's gone, by the way, Maleficus.
Well, we're all nuts, or we wouldn't be here.
Okay. Show me what you got.
Thank you.
were all nuts or we wouldn't be here.
Go, ladies and gentlemen, another one done by Maleficus. Some comments.
That wasn't a bad one, that one. I quite enjoyed the production side of that. Was a lot of fun. So the initial guitar bit of that was my mate Si, who sadly, as I say, not with us anymore, but all the rest of that was just sort of put together on a program called Cubase.
Cubase, I know Cubase.
Yeah,
well.
And I used to use a program called Reason for creating sort of synth samples and things like that. But the sample as well, We're All Nuts or We Wouldn't Be Here, was a sample taken from not the Dirty, was it the Dirty Dozen? Yeah, I think it was the Dirty Dozen. So We're All Nuts or We Wouldn't Be Here.
You know,
it might have been Logan's Heroes, actually.
No, you know what? When it comes to MIDI, I used to love Cakewalk. I used Cakewalk for years.
Oh, I had Cakewalk Studio, but I didn't really dabble with it all that much.
Yeah. I didn't have Studio. I didn't have Cakewalk Studio. I had Cakewalk 3, and as it got better and better, I went right up to 9, and then after 9, it just turned to shit. So, there's some comments in the chat room from JB. JB's actually saying...
reminiscent of the Orb. Yeah, thanks, JB. I used to listen to the Orb a lot, actually, when I was a sort of wayward child.
But also he said...
teenager.
But also he said, when I was playing Faith in Life, he said, that track was so tinny, sounded like it was recorded with a tin can inside a tin shed... sitting in a tinny boat while drinking tinnies of lager. And I said, I said it near on was JB. That's the thing. Because we were all young then, you know, like we were only like 20 to 25. And we had fuck all work, you know, it was like what I mean by fuck all work is like shitty jobs. We didn't have much money. So we bought all secondhand equipment. My brother lent me his tape recorder to tape it and everything like that. And it was like, yeah, really shitty. It was, I said, as I said in the chat room, it was worse than bad sex. It really was.
There's nothing worse than bad sex.
You might be right. I don't know.
Yeah, no, because it's that whole sort of like excitement of, this is supposed to be good.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, here's the thing.
I'm enjoying this. What the fuck?
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. We didn't care what shitty equipment we had. You know what? I could have been playing on pots and pans.
Well, at that age, you probably didn't care what sex you had either.
No, no. No, I didn't give a shit. I didn't give a fuck. You know, back then, you know, I didn't care if I was playing on pots and pans. In fact, we were. The next door neighbor of the house that I was in at the time, the in fact, I was in a flat. The next door neighbor that was beside the flat, he was pissed one day. He came out and said, "Will you and Speedy knock that shit off?" I said, "Knock what shit off?" And he goes, "You're playing fucking pots and pans with a couple of wooden spoons. It's driving the whole fucking neighborhood crazy." And I went, and Speedy walked out there because we were at his house at the time. He walked out there and he said, "Sorry about that." And we had to stop playing the pots and the pans. Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
God, the stupid things we do when we're young. Holy shit. My God.
I did lots of stupid things when I was young. Don't we all? Yeah. And then we have to grow up into the world and learn very harsh lessons. It's such a shame.
Well, you know, and at the same token, you know, I never play the boomer game. What happens is, you know, I expect my kids to do the same.
I thought you loved boomers.
Sorry?
I thought you loved boomers.
Yeah, fuck off, idiot. So what... So what happens is I expect my son and daughter to make certain mistakes that I make. I can only give them advice, and this is how I hope that everybody would treat their kids. Yes, they're going to go out and do the exact same fucking things you are, and you better get used to it. It's going to suck, but they're going to do certain things. All you can do is give them advice. Let them know that if they don't take that advice, that shit is going to go down, you know, and, and hopefully they take your advice. I'm one of the lucky ones, Maleficus, as I know you are as well, in that my kids have really taken heed in what I've said. They're basically like, "Dad, no, I know you've told me about this and I'm not going to go down that road. I don't want to go down that road." You know, I'm just one of the lucky fathers, I guess you could say. But if they do make some mistakes, I'm not going to say, "You shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that because rah, 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 rah."
I always say, if you could learn a lesson by being told it, we'd all be exploring space by now.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly.
No, we're not. We all have to go off and learn the lesson the hard way. Did my son at the age of 18 months touch the part of the light bulb that he wasn't meant to touch? Yes, he did. Even though I told him, "You're not going to touch that, are you?" "No, no, I'm not." "Right, I'm going to go make a cup of tea. Turn my back." "Wah! Did you touch it?" "Yes, I did." Yeah. So there we go.
Kids, they're crazy things. You walk into the room and they've got their tongue on the PowerPoint and you're like, don't do that. Like, seriously, they can drive you nuts, and they'll drive you nuts forever and ever. And it's hard for us parents to suck down the fact they're going to do the same things we did. So we've come to the end of the show. Maleficus, as always, a pleasure.
Nice to be back.
Good to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Two's Company 3's The Lab. With you was Maleficus Sentius and myself, Sean Surplus. You've been listening to Two's Company 3's The Lab, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR. And we will see you, we will speak with you next week. Join us around the campfire. Bye-bye now, my brothers, white brothers and sisters, numbs. No, 7.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Even before the first colonization of white people coming to the shores of Africa or the slave ships, black men built nothing. No sewer system, no houses above one level, and none of them made out of stone. All of them made out of grass and wood. The people who ran the nation are now leaving the nation because black folk don't know how to run no nation. You talk about the Hutus and the Tutsis. Look what's going on in Zimbabwe now with Mugabe. We got a problem, black folk. And forget about Zimbabwe and South.